This is the Telstra AFL Trade Radio Podcast. Subscribe now on iTunes.
Lotto, the passage of Bradley Hill from the Dockers to the Saints, we learnt last week that the Saints had broken up pick 6 into pick 12 and 18 for other reasons, and as such, the leverage that the Dockers had in their back pocket on that pick 6 from the Saints disappeared. It's caused a major problem, A, for the Saints who want Bradley Hill, but equally for the Fremantle Dockers who now, in their preparation now for the trade period and more particularly the draft, because of access to a local kid who they would have been and still will be required to pay big money for, they are now in limbo themselves in what they actually get for Bradley Hill.
Yeah, it'd be some at Fremantle, Damo, as a recruiter, you would have been licking your lips to say, okay, we lose Bradley Hill, but we get pick 6 in the door, we'll get a quality midfielder, pick 7 in the door, another quality midfielder, and then you've got Liam Henry, the boy you just touched on, Indigenous, silk, smooth-moving footballer, that he would come. He wouldn't be bid on in the first 7, but so then they'd be able to use...
He's an academy player for the Dockers. They've got access to him, provided they match the bids.
That's right. Yep. So then suddenly the Freo recruiters would have been saying, okay, we get 6, we get 7, we get Henry. They are three absolute gems that we're having in our football club. Bradley Hill goes out, we'll get 3 absolute guns for the next 10, 12 years off the back of Chera and Brayshaw, who they got in recent years.
Yep, high picks.
High picks as well. So suddenly your midfield is looking pretty good. So then to blow up that pick 6 or lose that pick 6, be some very disappointed within Fremantle.
Yeah, there was a feeling from what I've been told over the weekend, Lordo, that the Dockers always felt that pick 6 was coming their way. And we revealed, didn't we, on the trade radio of last week, that the final meeting between the Dockers and the Saints over this particular scenario lasted all of 2 minutes and 45 seconds when the Saints just walked out, when the request for Hill was of a nature of a first-round pick, a future first-round pick, and something else. And the Saints, I understand what they were thinking. They just said, no, that's it. And within hours of that meeting blowing up, they had then transacted with GWS, wasn't it? GWS over those picks that they got back, 12 and 18 in response for 6. And there were a few other things thrown in, but ultimately it allowed GWS to go higher in the draft and the Saints to gather the points attached to 12 and 18, because they've got so many players that they still need to get through the door. Zach Jones, and also Patty Ryder is another one, and Dougal Howard's the one that's going to require as the second most currency behind Bradley Hill.
The pressure's on in that regard. You know, pressure's on St Kilda to land a player that they've committed to in Bradley Hill at big money, and we hear talk about Geelong maybe trying to dangle a carrot out there to see what they can do, because they may suddenly think, well, Jack Stephen, it's getting pretty difficult here with Jack. Maybe we can get our hooks into probably a better player. I know he's a different sort of player. He's more an outside Bradley Hill, whereas Stephen's an inside sort of midfielder. But, wouldn't rule out Geelong either, but despite the salary cap, you think it'd be too much for them to handle?
The salary cap's too much.
Yeah, too much.
Whether they can convince Bradley Hill to somehow take a significantly reduced wage, because we know the negotiations around getting Paddy Dangerfield out of Adelaide initially were of a nature that it couldn't be even $1 more than Joel Selwood. And the way that club works, Joel Selwood has regularly taken less than what he is worth on an open market to keep that Geelong team together. They brought Ablett in as well. Again, not on that high-end money that he once was on, but significant money as well. They've got Hawkins on their books. Taylor was on a big deal at the time. That club doesn't bring in players on that big deal. Now, if they were to do it, and I can understand the appeal to him, because I think if you lose a Kelly the way they've lost a Kelly, they want to bring in a Stephen potentially. To bring in Bradley Hill, it's really appetising in their thoughts for what happens next year. But to me, that would break that Geelong model in a way that I just can't see Stephen Wells allowing himself to do. Do you have any intel on any of it?
I don't. All I know that, again, over the weekend, that they are miles apart, like in a sense a Danaher-Sydney apart. That's how far apart this St Kilda-Geelong trade is with Jack Stephen. So
St Kilda and Geelong.
St Kilda and Geelong are just miles apart, just like Essendon and the Swans are with Joey Danaher. But just on Fremantle and Bradley Hill, it'd be embarrassing if it gets to a point where they had to accept something that was worse off than what the original deal was. So some are wondering in the industry that whether they end up getting them to a point where they have to hold Bradley Hill and say to him, come back, because you can't go and accept worse off than what you were originally offered. It'd just be an embarrassing for the Fremantle Football Club that they got worse off than what they could have taken initially. And do you hold him in that sense? Do you hold Bradley Hill rather than take something that you're not entirely happy with? So I'll be fascinated by that one over the coming days as well.
The assessment of what Geelong did with West Coast has clearly clouded the Fremantle thinking on what Bradley Hill was worth, because West Coast, as we know, coughed up a lot to get Tim Kelly off the Geelong books. And the Dockers then thought, well, okay, we've got maybe not a player as highly ended in his currency as Tim Kelly in Bradley Hill, but one that is still going to demand a lot. And I think when you've got pick six in front of you, as it was, that to me is the perfect trade for Bradley Hill. Now, you might have wanted something in the future, draft pick-wise, down the track. I get that too, but to demand two first-rounders the way the Dockers did, and then to have their bluff called by the Saints, who walked out of the meeting and then within hours moved pick six away from that deal, it's a good point you make, because if pick six was on the table, it's now not on the table. What do they get in return for Bradley Hill?
And I now look at it, and I'm looking at, you know, the Gold Coast aren't giving up picks one and two. They know they've got Rowell and Anderson. Adelaide have got pick four, and they're looking to regenerate their list. Melbourne have three. So, you know, you look at that, I'm not sure. You know, there's a possibility they'd part with three, but they need some quality, pacey mids through the door.
They effectively ruled out Bradley Hill last week, didn't we? We spoke with someone from Melbourne, Josh Marnie, I think it was. And Josh Marnie just ruled that out. And he's not one to be making statements along those lines and then to backtrack on them. So I'm taking Melbourne out of that Bradley Hill scenario.
Adelaide are going to the draft. They've admitted that. They're rejigging their list. Pick five is the Swans. If they don't use it for Danner, they'll use it for themselves. So suddenly I just wonder how Fremantle can get a better deal than what they were offered from St Kilda. So I think it's an absolute disaster in that sense. That pick is now gone. And I just don't see how they can get better than what they could have had.
No, I hear you.